This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, dog mom Colleen Gray shares helpful tips for pets and pet parents celebrating Canine Fitness Month. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. As a pet parent, my pups and I love April, not only because we celebrate National Pet Day and National Pet Parents Day, or because the weather's warming up and we're out once again enjoying the great outdoors, but it's also Canine Fitness Month, and that means extra walks, playing ball, frisbee, sports, and so much more. And with us today to tell us about Canine Fitness Month and how it benefits both you and your pups is Colleen Gray, dog mom to three competitive and leisure fun enjoying pups. Hey, Colleen, welcome back.
Hello. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you. Now, this is like so much your month because your pups, they're very active, very athletic, whereas mine get the basic walk around the block and they love it. But you are like so in tune with them, and all three of them have a specific thing that they excel in, and you really work with them to do this. So this is like totally your month. So can you tell us about Canine Fitness Month?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here and really happy to be talking to you about Canine Fitness Month. As we mentioned, April is Canine Fitness Month, and a month that we focus on keeping our most loyal companions healthy and physically active. Like many human counterparts, too many dogs suffer from obesity and being too sedentary, the two most common preventable conditions in the canine and human populations. Too much sitting and too many calories in treats or poor nutrition choices often contribute to weight gain.
So what are like some of the physical drawbacks to this?
Yeah, so besides causing our furry friends to have sore joints, difficulty breathing, high risk of cancer, canine diabetes, and other diseases, obesity also shortens their lives. So unfortunately, being sedentary has become a normal lifestyle for many dogs and their people. The opposite of a sedentary lifestyle is movement, playing, being outside, engaging, and moving. Canine Fitness Month encourages us to take a step toward developing a healthier lifestyle and bond with our four-legged family members. Always check with your veterinarian to be sure your pet is healthy enough for exercise and make sure to find out what kind of diet routine is best for your dog.
That is so great. And it's really something that yes, we should be speaking to our vets, and I'm sure our vets are going to encourage us to have the best diet and also the best form of physical activity for our dogs to really, so that not only they don't have a sedentary life, but also us as their pet parents. Can you share some ways that we can celebrate Canine Fitness Month with our fur kids?
Absolutely. There are so many fun ways. And the first and easiest is to get walking. Just put one foot in front of the other, and the fresh air will do you both an awful lot of good. Get out in your neighborhood or your favorite park. Enjoy exploring your unique surroundings, your local mountains, beach, lakes, trails, or city streets. Wherever you are, there's beauty all around us. So just kind of get out and enjoy.
You know, walking is so important, and we adopt special needs and senior dogs, and we take them out each on a walk. Some can go far, some can't go too far, but that's okay. They each get their own individual time out. It's great for us to go out. We bond with them. Everyone gets a real benefit of being out in the fresh air, and also we're all exercising, so it's like a win-win for everybody.
It really is. It's just so nice to get out and be out in the fresh air, and it's very relaxing.
Yes.
So a few other ideas. So active play is a really fun way to get moving. So throw a ball, a stick, or a frisbee in a safe environment to your pup, or better yet, run or jog with your pet to retrieve it. It is so much fun. One of my corgis, loves to retrieve. It's kind of funny, the corgi retriever, but it's a lot of fun. A couple of other things, you can play hide and seek with your dog, especially indoors, using your pet's daily allowance of treats. So you don't want to give them a lot of extra treats, but just kind of using the treats in their normal daily allotment. And you can place them behind doors, under bowls, and under chairs, especially during the winter time if it's kind of cold out. That's something that you can do indoors. And also for dogs unaccustomed to the game of fetch, you could use a treat dispensing ball. Again, keep the amounts of treats small and intermittent.
What's a treat dispensing ball?
They're really interesting. They're really fun. So you can buy them just about anywhere. You can buy them, you know, on Chewy, Amazon, at your local pet store. And basically, they come in different sizes. And you put the treats inside, and there's little holes in the kind of on the outer surface of the ball, and then the ball rolls around and the treats fall out. Our dogs love it. We do have, because we're a multi-dog home, we do have to have them play with the treat balls separately because they all want to chase the treat ball.
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really fun. You can use them indoors, outdoors, and they're just a lot of fun and really easy to another great way to help them get moving.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Another thing you could do is to create obstacle courses indoors and out all year long. So indoors, you can move rugs and chairs around to create obstacles in a workout worthy of both human and canine. The key is to make movement fun for both of you. And outdoors, there's all kinds of things that you can do. I know that we've kind of talked about some fun obstacle courses that I've had in my backyard in the past.
Colleen lives on one coast. I live on the other coast. And when I fly out to visit her and I see the pups, and Colleen has weave poles up and the little tunnels, like her yard is so set up and the dogs love it. So yeah, I always thought that was like really cute and cool that you do that. And it keeps them very active and they're all really good at it.
They love it. They absolutely love it. And it's just an old set of weave poles. I trained in agility years ago, and I just have an old set of weave poles, and I have an old agility tire. So it's like a tire that's suspended in this kind of rack, and they just absolutely love it. So yeah, the simplest things, you could use little cones, anything that you can be, you know, you can use your imaginations, all kinds of fun things you can set up in your yard or bring out to the park with you. But it's physical and mental stimulation. They just love it.
Yeah, no, I saw that with your doggies.
Another thing to just kind of think about, and I know so many of us, we work, and you know, by the time we get home, we're really tired, or we just, you know, it's dark out, or we don't have time. So just something to think about is, if you're not able to get your dog out, maybe find a dog walker who can help get the recommended 20 to 30 minutes your dog needs each day to get out and get some exercise. So that would sort of keep them moving along.
Yes.
And then keeps kind of the pressure off of you if you're able to hire a dog walker and you just don't have enough time to get your pup out.
And there's so many wonderful ones out there. You know,
there are.
Yeah, they're great.
There are. Yeah.
And you know what? You talked earlier about the physical health and the mental stimulation. Can you tell us about like some fun canine sports? I know that you engage in quite a bit of them, but can you tell us about some of them that are out there?
Sure. Canine sports, they're so much fun. It's great for their physical health and their mental health and ours too. Just really wonderful communities of people who bring their dogs to these lessons and these events. And it's just a really, really great way to enjoy time with your pup and also meet some wonderful new friends. So I'm going to share a brief rundown on some of the many AKC recognized dog sports. There are so many, but I'm just going to run through kind of a short list of them. Although these are AKC recognized dog sports, they're open to all breeds and mixed breeds. So you don't have to have an AKC registered dog to participate in these competitions or participate in the sports in any way. So they're open to everybody. So here are some of our favorites. The first is agility. Agility is a growing dog sport in the U.S. with over 1 million entries to the AKC's program each year. In agility, dogs raced against a clock as they navigate an obstacle course with strong concentration and speed. It is so fun. The next one I wanted to mention is scent work. So this sport is based on the work of professional detection dogs, such as drug sniffing dogs, employed by humans to detect a wide variety of scents and substances. In AKC scent work, dogs search for cotton swabs saturated with the essential oils of birch, anise, clove, and cypress. And I have a friend who, yeah, it's really neat. One of my friends does scent work. She takes lessons. She doesn't compete, but she takes lessons with two of her dogs, and they just love it. The next one I wanted to mention is Fast Cat. So Fast Cat, which stands for Course Ability Test, that's the CAT part of it. Course ability test is a timed 100-yard dash where dogs run one at a time chasing a lure. It's kind of like a race. I have some corgi friends who do Fast Cat, and they are so much fun to watch. The next one is fly ball. So one of the only team sports for dogs, fly ball combines fetch and agility in relay form. From a starting line, dogs race across hurdles, then touch a spring-loaded pad to release a tennis ball, which they catch in their mouths and run to their handlers to cue the next dog in line. That's kind of like a relay race. Mm-hmm. The next is dock diving. So dock diving is a combination of sprinting, leaping, and swimming. Dogs zoom down a platform before leaping into a body of water to retrieve a high reward toy. The pup that launches themselves the longest distance or the highest before making a splash wins the competition. Another really fun one. That's one that I really want to try.
Yeah. You know, I want to just interject just for 1 second because I may have told you this. I don't remember. Quite a while ago when I was working in rescue with a friend of mine who actually ran the rescue, we had encountered a dog that was given over to us who had like thought to be focus and discipline problems. It was a young dog. We brought it to someone who said, I'd love to adopt her. And she happened to be involved in dock diving. That dog ended up being one of the top in the nation. So it just goes to show that maybe you've adopted a dog or you're with a dog who may have a little bit of issues, but maybe it's like some sort of, you give them a focus, you give them a job, and it's, especially if it's the right one, and they just are amazing. So I could still see that dog. It actually is on the cover of a number of magazines.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, they really do tend to thrive doing the dog sports and doing the activities, because there's the mental stimulation, there's the, you know, the physical exercise, and then there's the bonding. You know, there's something really special when you're engaged in sports with your dog. And I'll bet for the dog that you mentioned that, you know, maybe the first owner was a little frustrated with him, with the second owner who kind of, you know, found out that, you know, this sport was in the dog's wheelhouse. It sounded like that dog really thrived. That's beautiful.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice. That's one that I want to try.
I think your dogs will do well at it too, by the way. Pups will do very well.
they might, but at least, you know, at least it would be fun giving it a try. The next one I wanted to mention, which of course we're all familiar with, is dog obedience. So dog obedience training is a method of teaching a dog to reliably respond to verbal commands or hand signals, typically including basic commands like sit, stay, come, and down, with the goal of building a stronger bond between the dog and its owner, establishing appropriate behaviors in everyday situations. So there's all different kinds of obedience. You know, it's always nice to have a foundation with your younger dogs, so they're just really, you know, great to be around and they're really good citizens and lovely to have out in public. And then there are handlers and owners who like to do competitive obedience. So it's really fun to see kind of the gamut from, you know, kind of one extreme to the other. But again, if a dog really loves doing competitive obedience and they really, really thrive, it's a fun sport. The last two I wanted to mention is herding is one of them. So herding lessons or tests are conducted within a fenced area using livestock such as ducks, sheep, or cattle. So during a test, a dog must demonstrate the ability to move and control livestock by fetching or driving and be sufficiently trained to work at the proper balance point to move the stock forward on the course. It looks really easy. It's really hard.
Didn't you do it with Callie?
I did.
I remember seeing the videos.
She is amazing. In fact, we took herding lessons for a couple of years, and she has a little bit of a physical limitation with one of her elbows. So it was just a little bit too hard on her physically. She can't do anything halfway. So she hurt herself a couple of times. So we decided to do something that was a little less physically taxing on her, but she sure loved it. It was just wonderful. And the last one I wanted to mention is lure coursing. So in this event, dogs chase a mechanized white plastic lure around a 600-plus yard course that simulates the unpredictability of chasing live prey. Zigzagging across a big open field is simply heaven for these dogs.
Yeah, you get to watch them, and they do. They look like they're having a lot of fun. That if that's like their thing...
Yep.
It's like totally amazing to watch. You know what I thought? Why don't we take a quick break? And then when we come back, Colleen will share some fun fitness activities that her pups enjoy. We'll be back in just a minute.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We're here with Colleen Gray, and she has three very active dogs, and they are great competitors, and they're very athletic. So your pup, Callie, she loves tracking and rally obedience. And we talked about how she was doing the herding and she sort of re-assimilated into this tracking, which I know you take her like every week. She takes classes and she absolutely loves it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So as I mentioned to you, we kind of had to shift gears from a sport that was potentially going to cause her some orthopedic problems to one where she could still have a lot of fun and use her mind and again, be kind of out in nature and doing something she loves. So one of my friends recommended a sport called tracking. So dog tracking training teaches dogs to follow a scent trail to find a specific object. And in this case, we use a leather glove. It's a vigorous outdoor activity that can help dogs develop skills used in search and rescue. So just a couple of notes about how dog tracking training works. So the trainer lays a scent trail for the dog to follow. The dog follows the trail, sniffing and smelling for the scent, and the dog finds the object and indicates it to the trainer. So I have her on a 30-foot long lead. So she, you know, we're usually out in a park or in a big field. And so she basically finds her way. It's fascinating to watch. And
well, I know you told me she absolutely loves it. Can you just give like a quick story about her in this? Because I found it totally fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. So as I had mentioned, you will usually meet at a park or usually at a park. We have several local parks here where I live. And we actually take lessons with another corgi. So Callie's a corgi. We take lessons with another corgi. It's a lot of fun watching the two of them. And our trainer she's been teaching tracking for years. And what she'll do is she'll lay a track. So we can kind of watch her. But she'll lay a track. Sometimes she'll put down along articles along the way that we'll need to have her indicate along the way. So she might put down a little sock or another little article. And then Callie will need to, you know, to indicate that that is an article on the track. And then when you're training them, which of course we're still doing after a couple of years, you give them treats, you celebrate that they find the article, and then they just keep going until they find the leather glove. And it's a long trail. So it can take, you know, 3 or 4 minutes to get through one track. And it's a lot of fun. There, you can see them thinking, you can see them maybe get a little bit off track, maybe if the wind is blowing a certain way, but she is just focused and on task. It's really great to watch. And she can't hurt herself.
Yeah, well, that's what's good, because you sort of had to redirect her to another sport, which she excels in. Well, she excelled in the herding, but this is, it like keeps her focused, because she's a very focused doggy. And another one, you have like Keegan, and I think Callie used to be in it, and I think that you're starting with Cisco, the rally obedience. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, rally is so much fun. So it's a fun dog handler team sport. So you and your dog navigate a course side by side as you steer them through the course of 10 to 20 different signs. Each of these signs provides instructions regarding the next skill that is to be performed. The dog and handler move continuously throughout the course with the dog under control at the handler's left side. There is a clear sense of teamwork between the dog and handler, both during and between the numbered signs. Although each performance is timed, having a good race time is not the goal. It's all about working as a team while performing the skills with the dog under control. It's kind of like a soft version of agility without the jumps. So you do a course and each sign has a different command or a different direction, like sit down, walk around. There's, I believe, about 100 different signs that the instructors can choose from, or the people who are testing can choose from. So it's very challenging. It looks easier than it is. And again, it's something that is very, very mentally stimulating, develops a wonderful bond between you and your dog, and it's safe for them, meaning that, again, Callie, who is extreme with her sports, she can't hurt herself. So, yeah, so it kind of checks all the boxes on the fun things we like to do.
Well, and you know, and I've seen some of the videos of it, and there's such an immense, like a sincere, like a trust. Not only you guys have that bond, but there's like a trust. They totally trust you. And, you know, I know that you trust them because they're so good and so focused at it.
Yeah. We even did rally obedience. I've been doing rally for years. And one of my corgis years ago had degenerative myelopathy, yeah. which is he was in a wheelchair. He was in a cart and he always loved
Scooter. We love Scooter.
And he took rally. We took rally lessons at our obedience club for years and he just loved it. And our teachers who had known him for years welcomed him with open arms in our rally classes. And he would do his rally classes in his cart. It was amazing. And he would forget he was disabled for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, however long it would take to do the course. And of course, there's some things he couldn't do, like, you know, he couldn't lie down. And, you know, there are some things that he couldn't do, but he could do the serpentines. He could do pretty much, he could probably do about 80% of the directions that we were expected to do. And he just loved it. It was just such a special time.
Well, you know, and Scooter was such an inspiration to so many special needs and dogs with physical limitations that, you know, he, like you said, he didn't really know. And that's how they all are. They mm-hmm. never really know they're disabled and they just make the most out of it. And Scooter was, he was a winner. He was a winner his whole life. He was a very special guy, always will be. And he lives on in many people's memories. So,
you know, it was fascinating. We were at class last week at my obedience club and a gal came up to me who used to take a class right next to Scooter's rally class. So she would see us every week. And I haven't seen her probably in 2 years. And we lost Scooter about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. So she came up to me, it was just last week. And she said, I don't know if you remember me, but I was the gal who used to come over and pet Scooter when you'd be doing your rally classes. And she said, I just want to let you know what an inspiration he was. And to watch him, she said, I would get welled up with tears watching him so happy. And she said, you know, one of my friends, we were driving by the field here not too long ago. And she said, I brought up Scooter to my friend who didn't know me back then. And she was telling stories about Scooter in his little wheelchair doing rally. And it was just so beautiful. So he was a special little guy. And he, you know, to hear something like that years later was just, I can't even tell you how meaningful
that makes my heart feel so good. And, and you know what, Colleen, that says a lot about you. There, again, I go to that ultimate trust. Mm-hmm. He trusted you, you trusted him, and he just loved it. And that's what Canine Fitness Month is all about. It's mm-hmm. about really working with your dogs, enjoying what you're doing, whether it's a walk around the neighborhood, a walk in the park, the competitive sports or some of the fun things that we talked about. I mean, there's just so much to do to enjoy, not only, you know, for yourselves, but for you and your pets. And Scooter's a prime example, a very good example of there really is no limitation. The sky's the limit when you want to be out there and enjoying the outdoors and enjoying your time with your fur kids. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. And what a wonderful month this is. So whatever you enjoy, get out, get moving and have fun. And, you know, Colleen, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know that you're really busy, but you do so much with the dogs and you do so much, you know, physical work with them, and they're so good and they're so focused and they're athletic, but they have fun with it. And that's what it's all about. So I want to thank you for being our guest and for sharing such fun and healthy ways for pet parents to keep their pets and themselves physically active in celebration of Canine Fitness Month. So thank you very much. And happy Canine Fitness Month, everyone. Enjoy the outdoors with your pups. Thank you so much, Colleen.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. We'll be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week.
And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.